the scene in every movie where somebody is on this deserted road hoping some car will go by, except that the road's completely packed with cars, but nobody's in any of them. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Schaber.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, autonomous commercial vehicles. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. But first, we have some shout-outs we neglected.
they're just from early March. It's not that bad.
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Who's counting?
Yeah. You know, if they're still with us, they'll hear it.
Exactly. Yep. So thank you very much to Tea Leaf Princess and Papa Soft, which I assume is Bill Gates.
Yes, thank you very much for the kind ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Exactly. So folks, if you have not yet rated and reviewed us in iTunes, please go there now and give us 5 stars. Might as well. It's free.
You know, Papa Soft could be that small shell script we were talking about the other day.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that thought.
I'm going to keep thinking that.
Till I'm proven wrong. All right, cool. So we got a thought-provoking little episode for everyone today. The other night, it was dark. It was fairly late. I was putting Maggie to bed, and she tends to fall asleep on me in the chair in her room. And it was, you know, in the northeast of the U.S., it was starting to get a little bit warm, and we had the windows open. And as she was falling asleep, she's like, "Daddy, noise, what is that?" And I was like, "I don't know, what are you talking about?" And so I was listening, and with the windows open, you could hear in the distance an airplane.
Okay.
And I was like, "Oh, it's an airplane." And I was thinking about that. And she falls asleep, and I'm stuck there with her on me.
Time to reflect.
right. Plenty of time to space out. And in the distance also, so I started listening to like the background sounds around the house, because it was like the first night that it was warm enough to open the windows. And we're about, as the crow flies, we're probably 2 miles from a major highway. So you can, I mean, it's not annoyingly loud, but you can definitely hear it, especially at night, you know, because there's a lot of water in between us and the highway, so there's not much blocking it. And I'm listening to the kind of like Friday night traffic. I seem to remember thinking it was weekend traffic. Might have been a Saturday night, but whatever. And there was a fair amount of it. And you could hear like motorcycles zooming and, you know, like idiots racing. And you could hear semis kind of that making that brake noise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it struck me that the planes and the trucks and the cars and the motorcycles and all of that sound, I think of it normally as machine sounds. They're like, you know, machines, right? But really, every single one of those things, without exception, has a person in it.
Yeah, that's true. It does. I hadn't really thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. So like if I heard a crash, which I have heard in the past, a crash in the distance, somebody's having a bad night.
Right.
Like a person. So it's almost like, even though it's mechanical, the sounds are of a mechanical nature, they are all sounds made by a person. And I was thinking like, wow, it's weird because it's almost like, I mean, company is the wrong word, but it's almost like feeling a sense of people or community around me. You know, if I heard a car crash or tires screech, I would be nervous for a person in my community.
Right.
Almost certainly.
I was just about to say the same thing. Like it's the sounds of like trucks and automobiles and that sort of thing, but still, it has a sort of rhythm to it, and you feel a sort of like there's a connection to it. Like you're a part of this big thing that's, you know, this. It's just the day to day goings on of life, and you feel kind of grounded by it.
Yeah, it's that you just nailed it. It's life. And I was imagining, like, what if no one was in that plane that I'm listening to? Like, how would that? Now, then it would turn into like the sound of an air conditioning unit in the background. It would be different.
Like it goes from being the sounds of day-to-day life to being noise pollution.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
I know. And it was really hitting me hard. I'm sure I had a glass of wine at the time, but.
Right. And it's late at night.
Yeah. But I was like, man, now all of a sudden, if it all of a sudden depersonal, it would be the same sound potentially, although it might have a different rhythm to it, like you said. But all of a sudden it would just feel different. So then I'm thinking about like.
You'd feel less connected.
Right. Yeah, it would be more like noise and less like the sounds of life. And, you know, so it made me think, like, okay, how would this transition happen? It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to turn into all autonomous vehicles all at once. But we posted on the Facebook page a little while back a story about these autonomous trucks, like platoons of autonomous delivery trucks or commercial vehicles that this year drove across, I think, about 2,000 kilometers of Europe, crossing borders and everything.
They just kind of all gathered up and connected to each other via Wi-Fi and caravaned their way across the countries.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like think about like the way you can see that happen. Like you can see that as a path to autonomous vehicles in the future, because commercial vehicles are, there's a direct bottom line calculation that can be done about how much fuel you'd be saving if the trucks could draft off of each other and, you know, save, you know, in other words, drive so closer together than humans could possibly manage. And like, okay, so you immediately see like a commercial value for autonomous trucks, you know, like tractor trailer trucks. And it's also fairly well known that it's much easier to solve the self-driving vehicle problem on the highway. It's much easier to solve that than it is to solve around town.
City streets and things. Yeah. I just had this mental image of like 10 or 15 years from now or whatever, when this becomes common and you have like these fleets of commercial vehicles driving around, that they're just going to end up like covered in graffiti.
I was thinking the same. My brain went down a similar path, which is what will happen when there isn't a person in the truck. You know, like let's say you're hitchhiking and you need a ride, so you just run out in front of one of these things, and it'll have sensors that will force it to stop.
It'll have to stop, and then you just run and like jump in.
Get on it, right? Like you can imagine like a sci-fi book with a bunch of hobos on top of a semi.
Right. Yeah.
How do we get off? So somebody jump in front of it. So I was imagining like, well, it would make the problem a lot easier to solve with commercial vehicles. And this wouldn't work for personal use cars, but it would work for commercial vehicles where, let's say, you still have human drivers take a truck from, say, a shipping port, like, say, Newark, New Jersey, and they drive, you know, maybe 10 miles to a spot on a highway that just has a really simple, it's like a giant parking lot on the highway that human drivers take the truck to and then put it on autopilot so that it can then continue the journey on purely highway driving until they get to the truck port at the next spot where a human driver will pick it up. And so the human driver in Newark, he goes to the local drop-off, drops off his truck. It takes off on its own, and he gets in another one that's arriving, and he drives it back to the port, an empty one back to the port.
Yeah, so they don't have to solve the problem of how do we navigate our big trucks down these narrow, crowded city streets.
Right.
They just use a person, and then when they get, like you said, someplace in the clear, then they switch it out. And you do that, and you could drive your trucks for 8 hours a day, but never go more than 30 miles from your house and still go home at the end of the day and see your family.
Exactly, and I had a similar thought, which is that you wouldn't have the sleepy driver issue. So, you know, Eric and I both have driven back and forth between Providence and Atlanta multiple times. And, you know, if you're on 95 South in the middle of, I don't know, Virginia somewhere, and it's 11 PM and these trucks are all over the place, and it is scary because it's not uncommon to see them like all over the road. So, you know, not like flipped over all over, but, you know, just like not staying in their lane.
Yeah.
So very, very freaky. So you've got this sort of triple whammy of, you know, you make a better quality of life for the drivers. You decrease the danger for other drivers on the highway, and you decrease the cost of fuel on the highway. And it seems like, wow, it's really easy to make this calculation. Like, that's pretty interesting. But my brain was immediately like, okay, how do you hack this system if you're like, you know, a kid or whatever? You're like, what are the weird things that are going to happen when all of a sudden there are autonomous trucks on the road?
Right. In the article, it said that the trucks connect to each other via Wi-Fi. And I'm just like, you can hack Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
you can sniff Wi-Fi networks, and that they would have to be pretty secure network, or otherwise you could just you could make off with a truck full of, I don't
who
know.
Knows what?
Semi-trailer full of dog food.
So I had, I noticed that too in the article. They said Wi-Fi. I was wondering if that was just a, I wonder if they meant wirelessly.
Yeah, and that's just a simple way to explain
it. Yeah, because later in the article, they said that different brands have different Wi-Fi. And I was like, Wi-Fi is kind of a specific thing. Like, I don't think they mean, you know, A versus G. I think they meant, you know, wireless, different ways to connect wirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the flip side of the ending up with a truck full of dog food is that how much is the driver really protecting that from, you know, like, does the driver really care? Like, if you wanted to hijack a truck, I can't imagine that the driver would be like, you know, it's not, he's not going to be like Captain America about it.
Right. If you show up with four or five guys with guns, he's going to be like, whatever, take the dog food, man. It's just dog food.
Exactly. So, I mean, I was trying to think of what do you lose if you take the driver out of the cab, and it's doesn't seem like you lose that much. I don't know. I guess the thing you lose is that you slowly start to lose that background sounds of life in your community or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was kind of thought provoking. It seemed like a fun thing to bring up on the show.
It'd be an interesting when we reach a tipping point where there's more autonomous vehicles on the road than there are ones that we are driving. And then what do you do if you're broken down at the side of the road and hoping for a friendly motorist to stop and help you? Oh, that one's not real. Nope, that one's not either.
Yeah, it's like the scene in every movie where somebody is on this deserted road hoping some car will go by, except that the road's completely packed with cars, but nobody's in any of them.
Nobody's in them. Yeah. That happened to us once on the West Virginia Turnpike. I mean, they weren't automated cars, but we were broke down on the West Virginia Turnpike, and like the spot where there was no cell service, and we just had to sit there and wait.
I was gonna say just call an Uber, but if you had no cell service,
yeah, there was no cell service.
Man, yeah, you can imagine all sorts of weird things, like horrible. You can imagine some horrible things, but it's like, and whenever. I think I get that reaction from people a lot. Oh, well, if no one's in there, then, you know, people could just do whatever. And I'm like, or like, you know, steal them.
They're still going down the road at 65, 70 miles an hour.
Right. And I'm like, there, a lot of times the thing that the naysayer will bring up is something you could totally do now, even if there was a driver in the truck.
Right. Like, locks don't keep criminals out.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They keep nosy people out. Nosy non-criminals. So anyway, we don't have to have a long episode about it. I just thought it would be thought-provoking. The sounds of you know, life in the background turning into the sounds, background noise of machinery operating. I thought it was a weird distinction.
Yeah, it somehow goes from comforting to almost threatening.
Yeah, I know. Like a table saw running, you know, in the distance.
Right. Like yeah, you better not get in the way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like a bandsaw is just going. So anyway, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two autonomous vehicles who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't know two autonomous vehicles, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review on iTunes. Thanks.